Welcome, everyone, to Ship to Shore with Silverman, with your host, talk radio advocate, Fran Silverman. And the show is about cruises, and I am delighted today to have as my host, Barbara Kingstone. She's the founder, editor of Indulge Traveler, an online magazine devoted to luxury travel and refined lifestyle, and co-founder of Travel Media Association of Canada. Barbara just returned from a cruise aboard the Seabourn Spirit and is going to talk about its wonderful service, great cuisine, and super itinerary along the Croatian coast. My guidebook says this five-star small ship for a grand small ship cruise experience in fine surroundings with only just over 100 other couples as neighbors, this ship is hard to beat. Welcome to my show, Barbara.
Thanks very much for that lovely interview, and you've said it all. It is everything you said it was.
Okay. Now, you indicated that your interest in luxury travel happened by accident. Would you like to explain how it all happened?
Sure. Long time ago, I was fashion writer, fashion editor, a fashion commentator on a TV show and radio, and went to Paris, Milan, London for various shows, and saw the way the other half lived, and I liked it, or the other 10% lived. And after several years of doing that, I moved to Hong Kong, where luxury is really the one thing that everybody strives for in Hong Kong, and I saw more luxury than I've ever seen anywhere. When I returned back to Toronto, I was offered a social column, which I did for about 12 years, and that led me into going overseas to cover events about Canadian galas and charities, etc. And hence, I started to be invited by the governments of various countries, by PR firms, and in the good old days, it was first class, and five-star hotels, etc. Things have changed in the economy, but find luxury, and one can find luxury anywhere one goes. So that's the my discovery of luxury in a nutshell.
You wrote me that you like luxury, everything from clothing to architecture, and certainly travel, but you love to stay in great style, but if one is interested in a destination, one doesn't spend too much time in a hotel, no matter how many stars it rates. But it's easy to get used to luxury. I mean, that's
well, it's not hard to get used to luxury, but you know, the first thing people seem to ask when you say you've been away or going away, they say, "What hotel are you staying in?" And strangely enough, you don't stay in a hotel that long if you're interested in the destination. However, when you're on a cruise and you have the total luxury that the Seabourn Spirit had, you really hate to leave the ship. It's just so luxurious. And the service is beyond anything I've ever had anywhere. And even though our ports of call were quite sensational, it was a hardship getting off that ship because it was filled with luxury from morning to night.
Well, let's go into that. What was so luxurious about it?
Well, the first thing is that they pick you up at the airport and your luggage is awaiting you in your suite when you, you know, clear customs and do everything else that's required. Then there's a bottle of champagne sitting in a nice ice cooler, the best champagne, and it gets better from there. It can't get much better, but it gets better from there. If you want to eat in your room, it's all linen cloth tablecloth and a napkin and the silverware and the crystal, and it's presented the way it would be in the dining room. If you're in the dining room, there are nights where there are, they say casual chic or chic casual. Nowadays, everything is chic casual. And there are two more formal nights, but they're not that formal anymore. There were very few tuxedos and fewer gowns. People just dress up a little more. It happened to be a very warm time. It was 10 days of, I'm thinking in Celsius, I have to think in Fahrenheit now, 90, 95, close to 100 some days. And it was really very difficult for men to even consider wearing a jacket, even though the dining rooms are very air-conditioned and the entire ship is air-conditioned. There's a lot of fun and conviviality, and it's a small ship, so you get to know a lot of people, and you find the people with whom you have some mutual interest. And it was just like being on a very big yacht with the greatest service and the finest meals. I know I seem to be using many adjectives, but they're all true.
Don't forget what you wrote me. You wrote me about how they remember your name.
Oh, that's most important. That impressed. I'm glad you remembered. That was most important. They take your picture when you get onto the ship, and one assumes it's for security reasons and getting from here to there and paying your bill, whatever. But I'm convinced that they give the pictures to the staff that is looking after you. And I felt, here I am hanging the way Farrah Fawcett or Justin Lee is, or Adele, or any of the celebs now hang in people's rooms. And there are pictures were probably posted on their wall so that they could recognize us. And immediately they knew our names, which really stunned us. Everybody from the waitstaff to the housekeeping, the captain, everybody knew our names. And there's a really nice feeling, don't you think?
Sure. When everybody knows your name, you know.
Geez. Yeah, that's right. They could sing it. Yeah. It makes you feel really important. And it isn't an inexpensive trip. So that adds to the luxury.
Did you say it was inexpensive?
No, it was not an inexpensive trip.
Oh.
It was a very expensive trip. And that certainly adds to the luxury that they provide. Seabourn is really a top class. It's one of the most highly rated ships.
Yeah, you wanted to talk about the accommodations.
Oh, I love them. First, let me start off as a woman, you would understand this, a walk-in closet, big enough for everything. You could go around the world and still have enough room in that closet. I kept saying to my husband, I wish I had this at home.
Yeah, that's unusual in a ship to have a walk-in closet.
Absolutely. And then there was a seating area that had French windows from floor to ceiling, which you could open. And although there isn't a balcony, there's sort of like that Juliet balcony where you could walk out and just smell the sea and see the waves, take photos. But you could move your chairs close by and eat breakfast or read by the windows. And then there was an area for the king-size bed. And the bathroom surprisingly accommodated all my cosmetics, and there are a lot, and my husband's needs. There was a shower in the bath. It wasn't a separate shower, but in a bathtub, so you had your choice of shower or tub.
And really? A bathtub too?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, it felt like a small condo, which probably in New York would cost a fortune. But it had all those ingredients. Plus the fact there was Wi-Fi connections and, of course, a TV and films that you could, DVDs that you could borrow. It was like being in a five-star hotel, but a boutique hotel that floats. It had all the amenities. The swimming pool was smallish, but you really didn't, with only 200 people, you really didn't need a big swimming pool. And then there were whirlpools and a very nicely equipped gym. I went into the galley. I was interested in seeing how they cook, where they cook. And they have these little areas where there's a bakery chef, there's a chocolate maker, there's the fish man that makes it. And there are pictures of how the presentation of everything should be. So the wait staff and the sous chefs all know how to present the dishes, which were all like photo opportunities. They were so beautiful. And one
caviar is available at
caviar is
on request.
On request, but they don't mind at all. And one night they had a caviar party outside on the decks, and there were major containers of black, delicious caviar. And, of course, all the accoutrements that went with it, and champagne. So I think of that as a top-rated hotel, but on sea. And I really, and the wine, there are no extra charges for anything. Tips are included. Before you leave, they send you a form, and it asks what sort of drinks that you would want in your minibar. And so you could tell them anything. We happen not to be major drinkers, but we did ask for some wine, etc., and various soft drinks. And there it was every day. If you finished one tin of this or one bottle of that, it was replaced. There was just a tremendous amount of ease and comfort that went along with this. There was nothing that you had to worry about. You know, how much should I tip this one? How much should I tip that one? Everything was included.
You mentioned that it was expensive, but you didn't pay, right? Because you have established yourself in so many places, mm-hmm. that got to the point where you're invited.
I've worked hard for that, Nancy, but over the years I've created a fairly good reputation, and the governments of various countries invite me, PR firms invite me, depending who they who their client list is, and whether.
What do you feel you owe them? I mean, I know that you probably write about it on your Indulge Traveler.
Yeah, and then I submit. I write for several publications, one actually in the States. Yes, one does, you know, there are no free lunches. So I'm speaking with you about the Seaborne Spirit. I've already written a few articles, one about the jeweler on board the Seaborne from Paris. Another about some of the ports of call, one of them being Porto Montenegro, which is going to be the most luxurious marina in the world. It was created by yachtsmen for yachtsmen, and it is probably the most posh area I've ever seen. There will be an 80-room luxurious hotel. There are now seaside residences that you could buy. It's a UNESCO World Heritage Site. The scenery is outstanding. The pool is bigger than Olympic size. And you're just 7 minutes away from the closest airport, and of course they have helipads, but it's certainly a port that will become, and it has actually has become, the fastest growing tourist destination. Then we went to smaller places like Lecce, beautiful Baroque city. There were wonderful stops at Split and Dubrovnik along the
coast. Yes, Barbara, we're going to talk more about Montenegro. We're just going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about it. Okay?
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, we're back with Barbara Kingstone, founder editor of IndulgeTraveler.com, and we were talking about her cruise aboard the Seabourn Spirit, and she was on the Croatian cruise, and it included Montenegro, the new playpen for the rich and famous, and their 130-meter yachts. Now, I was in Yugoslavia many years ago in Dubrovnik, and it certainly wasn't upscale, and nor was the rest of the country. I could not buy anything in Dubrovnik. There was nothing to sell. The only good thing I can say about it was that the mussels were fabulous. We ate mussels every single night because the mussels were probably just caught, and I never tasted mussels like that in my life. But Dubrovnik had nothing to buy, nothing to bring home as a souvenir. And then later there was a war. And now you're saying it's a popular site?
Well, let
me
just
rich and say famous?
That there's no more Yugoslavia.
No, I know.
Dubrovnik and Split are in Croatia. Montenegro is its own Baltic state since 2007. They have their own president. They're independent. Now, it's an island off the southern tip of Yugoslavia, and it's the most southerly fjord in the world. Looking down at it, when you enter the port of Kotor, you say, oh, this is the ugliest thing I've ever seen. But 20 minutes away, a visionary, he happens to be the world's largest gold mine owner, a philanthropist, Toronto-based businessman, and happened to be taken to see this dilapidated shipyard area. And he saw the future and the possibilities of this area because it's surrounded by water, and he's a yachtsman. And many of the people that have barge yachts are tired of the Riviera and the lack of privacy. And he saw an opportunity to create a village, which he's done. And it's beyond magical. There's a 64-meter pool that divides children from adults, as I mentioned. There will be an 80-room hotel for those who want to get off their yachts and perhaps stay in a hotel for a while. There are waterfront homes with 24-hour concierge service. And an extra plus is that it's duty-free. They get duty-free fuel. The streets, even though it's not complete, the area has not been completed and won't be completed until 2014. The restaurants and the bars are so busy, they have the top-end luxury, here's the word again, shops that you could imagine. They have dry cleaners, pharmacies, the best bread, bread makers. Everything is so upscale, and it has become very, very desirable, certainly for people with large yachts. There are so far 185 secure berths for yachts from about 50 meters to 150 meters. And there'll be future add-ons for berths for 45-meter yacht. So it is truly luxury for not millionaires, billionaires.
I bet the people that live in those condos are not from the country. They're probably from someplace else.
Yes, I think that's true. I think most of them are European and American.
Mm-hmm.
But they're with entry into the marina, the ships could be so large, the yachts could be so large that they could come from anywhere, even if they're crossing oceans to get there. And there's enough for them to do. There's this marvelous museum that Peter Munk, the visionary, saw. And there's a museum with an old submarine as a centerpiece outside, and inside are about 100 artifacts that were discovered while they were building. There are these little golf carts that could take you anywhere you want to go if you don't feel like walking. You just think of anything that you want, and you've got it in this little town.
Did the Seabourn stop there?
The Seabourn stopped at the bay of Koh Tar. This is Tivat, and you have to drive there. It's about a 20-minute drive.
Oh.
So it's also in the bay, in the most beautiful bay. And the backdrop, the reason it's called Montenegro, is Black Mountains. And you're surrounded by black mountains and blue seas. It's really quite exceptional. I don't know what else to tell you about this. It's a desirable place, except I wish I could stay there someday.
No, I can imagine. I mean, my mouth is watering.
Yeah.
You were only 3 weeks before you were on the Yangtze. Did you find it was so luxurious on the Yangtze River?
Well, this was the newest boat called the Yangtze II. I had been on a ship before that was really not up to par, but that was a while ago. This is the newest, and it's glamorous in a way because they have a circular staircase with a chandelier. The suites are comfortable, but not anywhere near the Seabourn Spirit. But certainly they're getting there, and it's the type of interest in tourism and the money that the Chinese people have. I think in time they'll have cruises. And with the new dam, larger ships will be able to get into the Yangtze, which it will be very desirable for ships like the Seabourn, because they're not huge 6,000-passenger ships. You know, the ship that I was on only had 200 or 204 passengers, which is really quite small. The 6,000-passenger ships will never be able to get there. But the Yangtze also is most interesting. The stops were very interesting to see some of the small villages and the bigger cities that have become just filled with skyscrapers unexpectedly. You look up at the sky and you see the building cranes and rising condos, and it's just quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They have heritage sites and ancient sites that also take your breath away, mainly because you're climbing. I descended 900 steps. They warned me. They said there were 900 stairs down to this particular heritage site, and I figured 10 here, 40 there. It would be, right. It wasn't. It was 900 steps. And
you have to climb back up?
No, luckily enough you could, but not luckily enough after you've done your 3-mile walk around an amazing pool,
cool little descriptive and beautiful area. There were golf carts waiting for us happily to take us back to our van. It would have been impossible to climb the 900 stairs. Again, it was about 95 degrees. It was huge humidity. And very enjoyable, but completely different than the...
What was the makeup of the... of the passengers on the Yangtze as opposed to the Seabourn?
They were older.
Older where?
On the Yangtze, sorry. The Seabourn went from 30 up to 80. And there were young women that had come from Australia, and they were in their 30s. There were the baby boomers that were 50-year-olds. And then there were retirees of 80, 85, all very, very interested in all the activities available. On the Yangtze too, the age was quite limited, I'd say 45 to 70. But there were no young
people. Where were they from?
Mainly China.
Mainland
China.
Did they speak their native language?
They spoke, yes. Mainly, they stayed with each other, but there had been a large conference. So on our ship, there were groups from Australia, Italy, and Canada, the U.S., because of the conference that had been held, and we were then invited to this ship, and there were a lot of English-speaking people.
Yeah,
there.
Because last week I had a guest who was on the Sea Cloud 2 along the Amalfi Coast, and he said most of the passengers were German and spoke mainly in their native tongue, and they were the only Americans aboard. So I guess for them it was tough because to have nobody to speak to.
That would be frustrating, but I have to say that there were Germans on the Seabourn, but the Europeans have this great facility of speaking many languages.
Well, these Germans maybe spoke English, but since they were together, they spoke mostly in German, you know.
Yeah. I didn't feel that on either of the ships or any of the cruises I've been on. People were very happy to meet new people, to mix and mingle, and I never felt alienated. And often I travel, even though I'm married, my husband works, I travel on my own. And everyone was willing to please join them at their tables in the evening, please join them on this tour or that tour. I've never felt alone on a cruise. However, one has to make more of an effort when one is single than when one is a couple. And I think that's true in the real world, too. You just have to reach out and make more of an effort.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any feeling of neglect on either of those cruises.
All right, we have about a minute left, so let's talk briefly about your online magazine. Do you have regular contributors, or do you accept articles outside?
I have people constantly writing and asking if they could contribute. I have been most fortunate. I'm a member of Society of American Travel Writers, and I have a few writers from this highly rated organization that write for me. There are two Indian friends, Calcutta and Delhi, that write. And I have never met most of these people. I have Israeli writers, English. I have people from all over the world that write and say, can you upload my article. Of course, I only accept professionals. I don't accept
people that I would imagine.
Yeah.
Barbara, I'm afraid we're out of time, but I want to thank you so much for being my guest today. You gave us so much wonderful information, and I'm just drooling from all the luxury.
Next time, together.
Okay.
Thank you, Francie.
Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Ship to Shore with Silverman, with your host, talk radio advocate Fran Silverman. Happy cruising!